WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are we're back on track here this week, trying to get normalized a little bit for everything other than baseball season, because there's nothing normal about that. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week at El Guapo out on the west side of town. We'll be there on Thursday afternoon from 1 until 4. We got great guests. Jane Miller's coming by from WBAL, former longtime WBAL insider Rob Roblin, going to come by, talk some Preakness with us, Damian O'Doherty. Next Friday, we'll be at Costas in Dundalk for March Madness Friday from 2 until 5, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play. And then back at Fadley's in Lexington Market, a place this guy knows pretty well from back in the day. We'll be doing that on the 23rd in the morning. Dennis Colossus joins us from Coons Ford, Baltimore, and actually out of Security Boulevard, but West Coasting right now, and just getting back into the flow of things here. You were out at a really special, like, big thing for Ford, seeing new vehicles, but you had a chance to go to one of my favorite places in the world, out in Southern California, San Diego. I was in a convention hall for much of my time last month out in L.A. It sounds like you had a little bit more fun than that.
It was great. It was one of those bucket list things, Nestor, getting out to San Diego, and we were there on the beach watching everybody surf and kite surfing and all kind of water sports and people rollerblading everywhere. And I'm telling you that the lifestyle there is unbelievable. Everybody wearing t-shirts and shorts year round. So it was quite the experience. Went to some nice restaurants and saw some sights, and just glad to be back.
You've been to Greece. You've been all over the world. What, how in the world did you never make it to Southern California? That's like, that's kind of a neat thing that you've waited this long to go experience paradise, as they once say.
Went there, went to Palm Springs, and went horseback riding, and went and saw the Joshua Tree, took a tour there. It's a beautiful world, and it's nice when you can just take a few days to just decompress and enjoy all the beauty that this this natural beauty that this world possesses.
All right, so you've been someplace I've never been. I've never been to Palm Springs. Despite the fact that Bob Hope spent time there, you know, Palm Springs has been one of those places where I've looked at it. Honest to God, Dennis, I looked at it a month ago because of COVID and the weirdness of LA. I was in LA and I almost drove to Vegas to see Sammy Hagar. I didn't, but there was a concert in Ontario, which is most of the way to Palm Springs. I have a really, really good friend who lives in Palm Springs. She was my yoga mentor, Kim Manfredi. Anybody that is familiar with Charm City Yoga, she created Charm City Yoga, and she moved out there about 5 years ago. She's a painter and artist, and I've wanted to visit her. Tell me about Palm Springs. Like, I've seen pictures, videos, all that. I for some reason, I hold it to be this special place that I need to get to. And certainly the Joshua Tree Park, which is my favorite album, of course, I've never been. So do tell.
No, it is a special place. We end up landing at Ontario International Airport. So we commuted from there to Palm Springs. It was about an hour and 45-minute commute. And we stayed at a place called La Quinta, which was real neat. Greta Garbo spent time there, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, just to name a few. So we got a great tour of the place. It was built in 1926, and all the old buildings, all the old masonry style, the arches and the brickwork, it was really phenomenal, and had great dinners there. And I tell you what, if you ever want to just to go to a place to decompress and have some quietness around you, that's the place to go. And it was hot, but not humid. Weather
You're
was
talking
perfect.
Me into it. It's got like everything Phoenix has without Phoenix.
Yeah, you know what? There's stuff to do there. I mean, I didn't play golf. A lot of my colleagues played golf, but we did. Someone went rock climbing. Lots of rocks everywhere. But it's a beautiful place for what it is, and nice place to visit. Wouldn't want to live there, but you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when you go there once, you can say been there, done that. It was just a nice trip for it to take.
Well, you know what? I'm happy you're telling me about it, because like I want it. You're making me want to go. A friend of mine, Jason Seamer, has been on the show. Great musician, a local guy. He went out, took the most. He's an artist. I mean, incredible pictures, right? Because of the vistas and how beautiful it is. And Palm Springs has like an architecture to it, right? It's like South Beach. There's a style that's a Palm Springs style.
Yeah, definitive, distinctive style. And even a horseback ride, we went to, I thought we were going to take the horses on a flat tour, but we actually ended up going up a mountain. We went up as high as 1,100 feet was the elevation. So when you get up that high, you can really see the valley. You can see just how beautiful it is. And an hour and 40 minutes on the back of a horse, Nest. And
I've never been on a horse, Dennis. I've never been on a horse.
It's something you should do. Take a tour with a horse, and they know what they're doing. They're professionals out there, and we didn't lose anybody. Highly recommend that you go out there. My wife wants to get me on a horse so badly.
You know, it's like she's been on me for 20 years about
that. And a horse would like you because you're not heavy like I am. I'm a biscuit short of 250. So my horse, he was a big boy. Called him Spanky. He was a little rascal. He, like me, he wanted to stop and eat every time he saw food. So I had to keep his attention. We had a heck of a time climbing the mountain together and coming back down. But he was huffing and puffing and snorting a lot with me on his back.
Dennis Galatos is here. Are you huffing and puffing and snorting about the baseball? Is there anybody that comes in and buys a car at your place or any of your employees? I mean, like, Luke is the biggest baseball person I know still left in my life. He's kind of angry. And Luke doesn't get angry much, but I think there's like this thing for the people who do like baseball, the people that are still left, that they've now been abandoned in the way where like people like you and me have just been like, we got tired of being treated poorly a long time ago and kind of walked off. But this should be a bigger story here, Dennis. It should be a bigger Baltimore story as it was back in 1994, 95. And you remember that strike. That was one where you did have emotions about it. And it was something where every day people were talking about it in your dealership then, on my radio station. Then it's out of sight, out of mind. And that's really frightening. It should frighten them.
Well, you know, I took this dealership. A lot of dealers there from all over the country, all 50 states. And I tell you what, no one talked about baseball. There were people there from Ohio. We talked about the Browns. We talked about the Bengals. There were people there from Pittsburgh. We talked about the Steelers. But no one ever brought up baseball. So in my travels, I brought it.
These are car dealerships. You know what I mean? Like car dealerships are what ran baseball for 30 years.
Big,
literally.
Big sports fans. We're all big sports fans, huge sports fans. But no one, we talked golf, we talked NBA, we talked pro wrestling, but no one talked about baseball. It's the apathy out there is unbelievable. I think it's off of everyone's radar. Now, so I don't think many people miss it. Unless you get down to people like Luke Jones, who really love they love baseball. And unless you have a huge passion for it, and you've had a huge passion for it throughout your life, but it's been distinguished by these greedy owners.
Dennis, I'm sharing a picture right now, and you can see it a little later if you can't see it up on your screen. But for everybody, it's a picture of me holding a receipt with the three boxes that I returned to Xfinity. And I did it on a really cold day, and my hair is blowing around, and I look really happy underneath the mask that I'm wearing. I'm wearing the mask outside because it was so cold that day. I haven't shared this on social, but I'm about to. I cut the cord on cable. I took the boxes back. We moved from downtown out to the suburbs back on January 21st. And I said that my wife's a Verizon employee, right? So we have Verizon for this, making this work right now. We have Verizon Fios, right? But is it Fios or 5G? Whatever it is. We don't have cable TV right now. We cut the cord. We don't have a box. I am now 6.5 weeks out into the county without cable television. So my wife's in the other room watching like BAL on her little iPad app or whatever. I have six TVs, six big screen TVs. I had three from my old house, three laying around the radio station from old times. One that I bought when my wife had cancer because I thought my TV was broken and it wasn't, and I've never hooked it up. I bought a Black Friday TV for $249 back in 2016 when my wife was dying, literally. And I don't even know where the remote is. So I have all of these TVs, and that one's smart. That one will talk to the web. None of them are hooked up right now. The only TV I have hooked up right now, my laptops and my mainframe iMac that I watched playoff games on this iMac. I watched TV on this iMac. I watch everything. I cut the cord on cable TV 6.5 weeks ago. I'm so thrilled about it that I'm holding up the receipt of getting rid of it. And here's why. And Luke got me excited about this at 7 o'clock this morning. I realize that for the first time in my life, not only am I not giving money to Fox News or another 100 channels I've never watched, I'm not giving money to Masson. I'm not giving money to ESPN right now. $7.50 a month ESPN was taken for maybe I watched SportsCenter, maybe I wasn't. But whatever that compromised that $165 a month cable bill or whatever the hell it was, no longer paying it. This is death for Masson that I'm this excited about it. That I have now cut off Mr. Angelos from the $37 a year he was getting from me and your grandmother and everybody else that's paying them. I cut the cord, and I'm 53, and I'm so ebullient about it. There's a new word for you, ebullient about it, that I may never get it back again. And if I never get it back again, that is the nipple that sports and Major League Baseball is counting on, that I need those ACC women's basketball games that they ran all weekend on Masson, that I need to have that, and I'm willing to pay $150 a month for it. Dennis, I'm done. And I tell you, the cord-cutting part of this for a 50-something-year-old that has been paying for – I've been paying since Comcast Cablevision. Caltech Cablevision in 1981 was my first. Remember the little thing that turned with 31 channels, the little box on with the wire. So baseball relies on this. So does hockey. So does all sports rely on this. But baseball specifically with these RSNs really need that, and that's the nipple to their money to getting paid for stuff that I'm not watching. It's over with for me, Dan. And the baseball strike in the middle of it makes me even more excited.
That's really interesting, Nestor, because everything is changing at a rapid pace. I know I find myself using apps like Paramount. I watch Yellowstone and that and certain other series, and it is moving very, very fast. Now you can watch anything you want on your laptop, on your cell phone, et cetera. So it is – look, and sound like you don't miss your cable subscription.
I don't. I mean, my wife likes television more than I do. And, you know, during the plague, we really got into the Food Network and cooking. And my wife, believe it or not, loves those shows where they take a house and make it over, or you're going to move to Santorini, you know, and sell it all off at Coons Baltimore Ford. And you're going to find a home there. And seeing what goes into moving to Hawaii or moving to an island somewhere or whatever. Those were the shows we were watching. We were not watching the Illinois Northwestern basketball game or pinochle game or wrestling matches on the Big Ten network that they were into. I just didn't. I found that my wife watched WBAL, Jay-Z, the regular four channels as much as anything else. And now I do not have a toaster oven here with a, you know, an old antenna on it and a little converter to get channel 45 on UHF or 54. But I find that my phone, social media, YouTube, old concerts, different things that I would prefer to watch and interact with, that I interact with the news in a different way than having to have cable news channels. And even HBO and Showtime, I'm not a movie guy, you know that. So I just think the sports and cable cutting are completely intertwined. Sports is the one that really needs it to exist. And certainly for Masson and for cable television, that is the thing that powers baseball, to your point. I mean, they think it's about television, but when people start cutting and not giving them money, and aren't going to the games, baseball's in for a rude awakening whenever they get this thing going again.
Well, the sooner the better for them. Now, I don't have a home in Santorini, but I do have one in Kefalonia and also one in Athens. So,
can I stay there?
You know what? Have I stayed there?
Can I stay there?
Oh, you can stay there anytime you want. Absolutely. Let me know when you're ready. But
I hear the sand's white and the water's blue, and the yuzu's delicious.
Kefalonia is much, much prettier than Santorini, but it's a hidden gem in the world. But yeah,
prettier than Santorini.
It's more beautiful than Santorini.
Hold on, I'm going to get a map out and look this place. I've never heard of this place. Come on now. Say it in English so I can find it. So I'm looking up Greece. Go ahead.
They'll call it Cephalonia. It's either with a K or a C.
Spell it.
It's Cephalonia.
Cephalonia. Okay, I got it. Okay.
Now, there's a cluster of 12 islands between Greece and Italy in the Ionian Sea. And Cephalonia is the biggest of those islands.
This is on the west side.
On the west side.
Looking at Malta. Yep. Looking right at Italy, kind of, sort of. Yes.
It's between Greece and Italy. You know, my mothers were named Gasparinato and Montesanto. So that island's probably half Italian and half Greek, truth be told. Mostly Greek, though. And it's one of those undiscovered gems in the world. Madonna has a villa there. She knows where to go to have a good time, but it's under the radar. Most beautiful beaches you'll ever see in your entire life. Food is great. Fresh seafood every day. Great weather. Great culture. They had a massive earthquake back in 1945 that landscaped the entire island, because that whole region sits in a volcanic zone. So you get the occasional tremor, but aside of that, it's just a great, great place to live.
I'm in. Sign me up right now. I get my passport. Mi pasaporte. I'm ready to go. Dennis Colatzos is here. So we've talked about war, Palm Springs, the southwest of Greece, islands and all that. You haven't talked combine with me, man. We slipped out on you on this one. I tell you what, the window has closed, Dennis. I invited you to Indianapolis in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2012, 2015. Then I stopped going in 2018, and now they're going to stop going. And you know I'm not going to Dallas. Screw that place. Dallas is the worst place on earth, so I'm not going there. But they're about to move it, right? I mean, were you watching any of the Underwear Olympics? I mean, this is your thing. You love the combine.
Yeah, I was on vacation, so I saw some of the highlights and us. But look, I like it for what it is. To me, I don't put a lot of stock in it. I was watching some quarterbacks for the wide receivers the other night, and again, they're not wearing pads. They don't have a defensive back on them. They don't have a pass rush. So to me, sitting there in the t-shirts and shorts, and okay, the guy can throw the ball a mile. We've seen the movie before many times. I subscribe a lot more to game film. What does the player look like with pads on? With heat on them, right, in game situations. The fact that they're twitchy, can run fast, whatever, okay, they're great athletes, we get that. But to me, the combine doesn't do much for me except provide entertainment value. Who sets records? Who's really strong? But we all know that doesn't always translate to on-field performance.
Well, we talked about Orlando Brown a couple years going out there and getting lost in the shuffle. Now he got franchised, right, by the Chiefs. Certainly the Ravens are never going to franchise him as a right tackle, or they think he's a left tackle in Kansas City. It's all in the eye of the beholder, right? No one loved that kid after they saw him. Everybody liked him until the combine. The combine blew him up. Then he had to come back and play into the league, if you do not perform well last week, it is troublesome for you. It creates a different pathway for you. And there's a lot of pressure on those kids. And when I've been out there, you smell it, you feel it, through the league that it is taken seriously by the scouts. I've no doubt about that.
Well, the one thing that Orlando Brown Jr. overcame, and this is a fact, no one who's ever ran a 40 as slow as he has ever made it into the league. So he was able to overcome that. He was able to get drafted in the third round, certainly not the first. And he was able to really make it.
How did he run so slow? That's the amazing part, isn't it?
Just a big guy, doesn't have great feet, but he's a mauler, and he's got a good, strong work ethic. He's been available. He's been able to make a good career in the NFL. But those are the type of things that have an impact at the combine. Players rise, players fall. Now, I know what the Ravens' philosophy, what their philosophy is, a player cannot improve his draft value based on a combine performance, but a player can drop his draft value, as Orlando Brown Jr. did. You made a perfect example of that.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He's selling cars right now. And okay, so you spent the weekend not just having a good time and sunning yourself and palm springing and seeing the world and seeing train and hearing Pat Monahan sing beautiful songs, but you learned a lot about your company and what's going on in the automotive industry. I mean, you talk about getting together with a bunch of auto. Is this the first time you've gotten together with your peers in that way since the plague?
It is. It's the first time we've had an in-person event versus online. And the best part about it was Bill Ford was there, the owner of Ford Motor Company and the chairman. Also, the chief executive officer, Jim Farley, was there. I mean, all the brain trusts, the top five Ford executives were there. And the best news was that they're going to continue to use the dealer model for dispersing their vehicles. They're not going to sell vehicles directly to the public, such as Tesla. They like the physical stores. They like the service that we provide to our customers. That was the best news, because there were some rumors out there that Ford was going to get away from the traditional dealer model. So they assured us that that wasn't going to happen. We saw a new product. We saw the new Ranger Raptor. We saw the new Super Duty, which is going to be a game changer, an amazing vehicle. I drove the F-150 Lightning, the all-electric F-150, 0-60 in Esther in 4 seconds flat, which is amazing for a vehicle that size.
But you said so, all-electric. We're having a war right now, another war, yep, over in Ukraine, and oil and gas are in the middle of it. I mean, literally. I mean, and we talk about cutting off Russia and cutting off the banks. They're only exports petrol, right? Like, literally, there's nothing in my home made from Russia. A lot of Chinese stuff around here, but nothing made in Russia except maybe some of the gas we've put in our gas tank over the last 20 years came from there instead of the Middle East, right? Or Texas or Alaska or Canada, wherever other gas comes from. But you talk about the importance of gas creating. I mean, over the last 50 years of our life, it's been sort of a treacherous thing for all of us, right? Gas, and we're talking about gas $4 a gallon now, Royal Farms. When you're talking about innovation and American innovation, we should be making cars that don't run on gas. I've been saying that all my life.
You've been a very smart man to say that. We should, and we are. The new Lightning, the Ford F-150 Lightning Super Crew Nestor, the range is 320 miles on a charge, one charge. You can charge it 80% in about 45 minutes. It will also power up your house for 3 days. If you have a power outage, you can plug it into your house and it will act as a generator and it will run all your appliances, your TVs, whatever, your refrigerator for 3 days. It's a game changer. And you'll see the battery life extend as the years go by to 400, 500, 600, 700 miles. So the notion of, well, you know, the range is only so much, that's gone by the wayside. So it's a game changer, and I'm very proud to be associated with Ford Motor Company. It is a game-changing company.
Getting a car soon, Dan. I'm coming. Yeah, my wife's talking. You know, we're getting to the end here.
Get that Lightning. It's just a phenomenal vehicle, man. They just have so much innovation, and they're just so far ahead of the competition.
I haven't seen the Ford Lightning. Is that available right now?
It's not. We have Ford has 200,000 on order right now. They had to shut off the order bank. They can't build enough of them, but they should be coming in our showrooms very, very soon. It's going to be the hottest thing you've ever seen, because the competitors won't have they'll have 200,000 vehicles on the road before the competitors put their first electric vehicle like that in that category on the road. So they're way, way ahead. Very proud of Ford Motor Company, what they've done and what they stand for.
Dan, tell me a little bit about the parts issue, because, I mean, when you're having these high-end conversations at these kinds of places, I mean, clearly you weren't getting cars a year ago because there were pieces and chips and things that were COVID-related. Where is all of that in catching up? Because I know we talked about it a lot last year.
Well, I think they learned some lessons. They learned lessons not to rely on China and then other countries for their parts. So they're becoming self-sufficient. They're building plants that will build their own parts, their own batteries, et cetera. So it's going to take 2 or 3 years for them to catch up. But that is the model. That's the lesson that they learn, is to become completely self-sufficient right here in the U.S. They're building a huge plant out in Texas. They're building a huge plant out in Michigan. So they're investing their money. Instead of sending those American dollars to other countries, they're spending the money right here in the good old USA.
Now, you know, I love my friends at Royal Farms and at Wise. They both pump gas. You know, we sell gas for a living here. We all need it. But the notion of going electric, that, you know, that kind of turns me on at 53 to think that when I'm 63, I won't be pumping gas. I won't be.
Yeah, look, you go to these stations, you'll still go to Wawa and they'll have charging stations. So you'll just plug in your vehicle. You'll have a charging station.
I don't ever go to Wawa, just so you know, but I go to Royal Farms. But I know what you're saying.
I'm sorry, Royal Farms, rather.
We don't eat hoagies around here.
My Freudian slip there, Royal Farms. So you'll have a charging station right at your house. So you'll still go there to get your coffee.
It gives me a chance to poop on the competitors. I don't mind doing that.
There you go.
You know, take a drive by one of your competitors.
Hey, you know what? They all hate me, so must be doing something right.
But you already drove by Tesla once. You already hit them on the way. Come on. So
we want to put them out of business.
By the way, busy week here. Tech service is going to be going off. Villanueva, Tavon Young. There's movement that's going to be happening this week on the football side. Then, of course, we got March Madness next week. We're kind of getting back in a little bit of a groove. You might even go fishing or hit the golf ball before it's all over. It's getting so nice out, right?
I'm definitely going fishing this month for sure. I got a fishing trip already set up in a couple weekends from now.
You told me all about that. You're going down to Potomac. I hope you catch some rainbow trout.
Yes, I am.
I got capers, and I've got lemon sauce, and I got some butter, and I'm this close to having an outdoor grill. I'm 2 weeks away.
I know you have recipes too, to put you and Jen watching those TV shows. I know you have them.
I am so ready. I want to brag on a crab cake here while I have you on, because you and I know we had this conference. We talked about tartar sauce. You and I talked about tartar sauce.
We have not talked about tartar sauce.
All right. Well, so one thing I learned on the crab cake tour, having done all these crab cakes, and especially in August when I went everywhere, and I'm doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days this August. So I'm going to go hit some old places, but find some new places. Everywhere I went in August, they served me. Do you eat tartar sauce?
On a crab cake? Absolutely not. I like a naked crab cake. To me, that's if a crab cake is good, it's like putting a A1 sauce on a nice steak. You just don't do it.
Perfect.
You lose the flavor of the steak.
You're agreeing with me 100%.
There were one on a hot dog. You know what I mean? If you want to change the flavor of something. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm ketchup and relish on a hot dog, but I'll take that with Andy when he gets G&A reopened up. And what he texted me yesterday. He said soon. So anybody asks, people are asking me, when's Andy open? I'm like, call Andy. Andy said to me soon. So I said soon. So
Andy and I go back to when we were kids. I've known Andy such a long
time. That's why I'm giving him some love right now. Let everybody know.
Love Andy.
So tartar sauce. Everywhere I went last summer, crab was $55 a pound. They weren't even serving crab in Tillman Island where they catch them because they felt like it was better to sell it than it was to charge you $48 for a crab cake, right? So everywhere I went, they brought me this beautiful female roe, fresh August, right out of the chop tank, right, you know, wherever river's in front. So I had the best crab cakes, and they kept bringing me a little plastic – you know, the little plastic thing with the top on it of tartar sauce. And everywhere I went, I left it. And I'm like, that's for fish sticks. You don't put that on a crab cake, right?
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
But everywhere I went, they served me tartar. And I'm thinking, I grew up in Dundalk. Did we serve tartar with crab cakes and I just didn't notice it? Or did they offer me, do you want tartar or cocktail? And I would always say cocktail, shove that mayonnaise and that relish. I don't want that, right? I don't hate tartar sauce. I'm not a big mayonnaise fan, so it's not my first – it's my last condiment of choice, actually. Maybe on a cheesesteak, a little layer, but I'm not a mayonnaise guy. Everywhere I went, I turned it down, or I looked at it, or I had one little bite of it, or I could see that it was just Hellman's mayonnaise and relish in a mixed. You know, it wasn't anything I wanted to waste on a crab cake. But every once in a while, I saw – Davis's Pub down in Annapolis had a really delicious – tartar sauce. It was lemony. It was fresh. It was bright. It wasn't out of a can or a bottle. So that's the only place I went where the tartar, I ate it and said it was complimentary. And their crab cakes are more old school, more Essex Dundalk, hockey pucks, not this lump jumbo. It was more special meat. And it's the way they make them. They fry them and they're like cotties. Delicious with crackers. So I have not had a crab cake this year, really, until the other day. I'm at Mama's on the Half Shell, and I'm on the air. We're doing a live segment. Jen's with me. Greg Spaniak's with me. You can go watch it. And they brought me this. It was a little dark. And they brought me white sauce with it, and I looked at it, and it looked more like a remoulade. Like it had more in it. And I couldn't tell whether it was pink or orange, like a remoulade would be. Well, I love remoulade. They serve remoulade at the Atlas Group. So I had the crab cake down at the Chop Tank. They serve a remoulade, like a New Orleans, and it's delicious. I like it. Now, it's not for everybody. It's not for a crab. I don't want to waste a good crab cake, but I like remoulade with shrimp, whatever. I had the best tartar sauce I've ever had in my life at Mama's on the Half Shell Friday. It was so good, I put it on the crab cake. She had capers in it. Capers.
Really?
Yeah, it was – God, it was
– okay.
It had a little bite to it. It had a little salt to it. And it was really, really good. So I just want to give some love to the fact that you mentioned fish and capers, that I had a good tartar. I had a tartar that would – I said you could have put that on a shoe. That's how good it was.
Well, you know what? The only time I think I've ever used tartar sauce was on fish and chips, right? When you get the codfish.
Right.
Fish sticks, exactly. That's the only time I've ever used tartar sauce. Never on a crab cake.
Dennis, if you go order 100 crab cakes like I did last summer, 97 of them are going to come with tartar sauce. Now, I mean that like everywhere I went, you don't notice it. Go to G&M, go to Pappas, go to any of these places.
Yeah.
They serve tartar sauce.
I'm sure they do.
And
but
I don't
again,
either,
I would usually never touch it. Though. I would never touch it any more than I would touch. I never want A1 sauce on the table when I'm eating a fine steak.
Well, this is where I would put it, because you mentioned this fish we're going to have that you're going to catch soon on the Potomac, and I'm going to bring capers. What I'm saying to you is capers fix everything.
Okay.
They fix
capers,
salmon. They fix lox. So capers can fix a tartar sauce. That's my life lesson for fish today. Dennis Colossus is here. He's not fishing around, but you can certainly come out and buy a I'm looking up here. I'm seeing Reveal. I'm seeing F-150 Lightning. What else do you have over there right now?
Well, we have the electric Mach-E, which is selling like hotcakes, the full-size Bronco, and also the Bronco Sport. We just have such phenomenal vehicles. It's Mustang season. We have drop tops about 30 in stock, more than anybody else in the region. So we have a lot of world-class vehicles, the F-Series, the 150s, the 250s, 350s. We have more than most. We don't have enough, but we have more than most, and close to 300 pre-loved vehicles as well. So we have a great selection, Esther.
Tacoma Cocktail or Tartar? No.
Whichever you prefer. You know, we have it available. You don't have to use it.
I prefer 0% financing.
We have that too.
Okay.
it's going to go away real soon. So let's take advantage of it.
Dennis Galatzos is here. He is over at Coons Baltimore Ford. You can find him. You can find the tech service that Luke will be firing up. And you can find him, of course, doing the Dennis Galatzos show on Thursdays from 3 until 5 and then replayed on Sunday mornings. And, of course, Luke and I participate in that. I don't know. I'm going to find the different we'll talk about mustard on your show on Thursday, all right, and how I've come around on mustard. Dennis is here. Go see him over at Security Boulevard. Go see Coons Baltimore Ford. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, doing it all week long, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and getting ourselves back out on the road and letting ourselves play. We are BaltimorePositive.com.